I hear all these wild, bizarre things. And his family, they tried to get me to come to their place. It didn't work out for me. It was my schedule. This man is a very famous fellow, very controversial, about like Jesus was. They could have killed him, they would have. I walked into their sanctuary a few months ago. It seats about 7,000, I guess. And it's the only place I've ever been that's got 8,000 crutches, wheelchairs, walkers. They got them up on the ceiling. I walked in there and I couldn't move. I was just looking. I mean, there's your proof, buddy. I saw it with my eyes. The man died. It was his seventh time to die. And this time he stayed dead. And they had invited me to, they wanted me to come. They were going to fly me over there to raise him from the dead. That was back December, be 2 years. They wanted me to fly over there to help with praying and that. And I don't do that. I don't want you to be angry with me, but that's not who I am. I don't fly around the world and try to raise people from the dead. That's not calloused. I got a job. And so it gets complicated every now and then on what we do and don't do. So it made them offended a little. Because they know that the anointing, this is what I do. And so when I walked up, when I got there a few months ago, I walk in there, and the son, Cobus Jr., he's got control of the empire now. And he's been working with his dad. He was working with his dad a long time, and when dad died and couldn't come back, they didn't bring him back. He took it over by default, you know. And so... Well, you know, this is what we need to talk about right here at this point. I was in there getting prepared because we was going to do a thing at their place. It'd be several thousand people, and it'd be the biggest congregation I've ever preached to. They have their own television station that goes worldwide, and it'd be like 8 or 10 million people watching. That'd be my biggest people to ever preach to. Lots of folks. And so you know, I'm there, and I've got my Bible going. I'm in their home, and I'm, you know, doing this thing. And there's a knock on my door. One of the little boys, hey, we need you right now. And I go in there. You know, I got on my running shorts and my workout T-shirts, you know, and that kind of stuff. That's how you seek God, comfortable. and I go in there, and there's Mama, Brother Coibus's wife. And when I walked in the room, you know, I'm dressed for workout. I'm not dressed for dignitary meetings, you know. And that woman stood up and listened to me. She walked over to me and started pounding. I mean, literally, with her fist. She's hitting me hard. But what I have found out in life is just every now and then, people just need somebody that they can hit. And you need to be that person. And you can't take it personal. And because they're hurting. So where do Christians, where's the release valve for all your pent-up emotions? I know Jesus is our all in all, and he's all of that. He is. But how many of us actually let him do that when we get in this sort of a bind? And I sit there and let that woman beat the fire out of me. And it hurt. I'll tell you right now, she was a woman, but it hurt. And I didn't raise my hand against her at all. And then finally she grabbed hold of me. Now, Ms. Hogan wasn't there, but she's all right with it. And this woman grabbed a hold of me, and I mean, she released. Because not everybody understands ministry and the longevity of life and the cost. And I just let her get it out of her system. And now we're like 8 months later or 7 months later or something. Do you know what's going on now? That one release of energy, of pain, completely turned that around, and it's going like as if Dad never left. Isn't that awesome? This is who we are. I know who we are. We got a job. We are old, and we have done a great job. We have. It's true. And I do get that. I do get that. It is the young people's turn, and I'm going to let them have it. I don't care personally. I know my job, and I'm not. I don't care. I told her that 6 times this morning. I really am blessed with how God has used us so far. And we've done, it has been an amazing job of dead raising, of blind and lame. But you know what? That's the fifth ministry that I know about. There may be more that God has used us with, but this is a big deal because they're very influential folks. But to save them, you hear? So who does that? We do. We do that. There's no sinking ships. We save them. We bless them. And now they got a thing in there. I didn't ever hear about no healing pool. You ever heard of that? He was somewhere on some mountain there in Africa. And God spoke to him to do that pool of Bethesda thing. And they built a really nice, it's not a swimming pool, but it looks like one. It's only knee deep. In their sanctuary. And, you know, I've never heard of anything like it in my life. I'm wild, but that's not one thing I have ever participated in. I didn't. And they go, do you do healing pools? I looked at them and I said, what's that? Well, you need to read your Bible, they said. It's in John chapter 5. Well, I know about John chapter 5, but I didn't know it was current in operations. And they said to me, have you got a verse that said God quit doing that? I said, no. Then why shouldn't we all do it? I go, good idea. You know, because the different is always controversial. And they said to me, if Daddy was here, he'd invite you to the healing pool. I said, I want to do it then. Man, they filled that thing up, and we had 3,000 people in there, and we went out in that water, and I mean the Holy Ghost. Listen, there's so many, you have to have so many ushers, because people get knocked out instantly and fall in the water, boom. You got to save them from drowning. The Holy Ghost and the miracles that flow. You ought to see it. I was grateful to have participated in this realm. But this fellow believed like I do about this right here. And this is some of the original things that they had anointed, and I got one of them. They pulled it out of a safe, actually. So I just want to tell you about that. That's what this is all about, this touching and anointing of the Holy Ghost. Now bless them in the name of Jesus. Shakabata. It's okay? All right? I wanted to talk about that because I saw it on my thing here. And there's another thing there. There's a verse he quoted. Let's go there to start off. Or we can skip it because he already did it, if y'all want to. But it's already on my thing, see? Look up here. Hebrews chapter 11. Sorry, there. Now faith is. Right now. Like my son and I got, we was on a trip, and named Joseph. He's a big old boy, thick fella. You know, he and I are on a trip, and one of the trucks broke down, and so we stopped over there. I don't want to use a protection word. It came out, and I'm sorry. But the families are with us, and somebody has to watch them. If we're stopped on the side of the road, you have to do different kinds of things because you're always a target. And y'all don't live like that, so you don't get the words. So, but now faith is. Now faith is. And there was this wreck happened right in front of our eyes. I watched a vehicle wreck. In my response, see, it's been proven that 99% of the people in the world run from calamity. 1% run to it. I'm in that percent. The one. This thing's making noise. Dust hadn't even settled yet. Rocks hadn't. And my son and I get to this car. And in that car is two people that are dead. There's blood and guts. I don't see it every day, and I'm not callous to it, so it still makes me vomit. I know you don't like those kind of words, but it's life. It's really the truth. We live in such a protected environment. When something like this happens, we react to it physically and emotionally, right? So I get there, and these people are dead. And we don't. What do you do? There isn't no 911. There isn't any of that stuff that y'all have. There isn't any of that stuff. So what do you do? I'm in the car all the way up here, leaned over this fella with, stuff oozing out of him. He's gone. My son's in the other side all the way up to his waist, and this beautiful lady is just dead, body parts. And he's looking at me, and he's freaked out, and he's quiet, you know. I said, son, pray. We don't know these people, never met these people, but for some reason, the vehicle broke down at that spot. I don't believe in coincidence at all. I believe that my feet are ordered by the Lord. And I believe He's got me organized to be everywhere I'm going to be. It doesn't matter how mean and dreadful of a person I am and rebellious. I'm telling you, heaven is guiding us. And we should recognize that and believe it. All right. You need the influence of heaven on you, and you need to recognize that it's there. My body's reacting to the smell of blood and things in the sight, in that, and my emotions are just spiraling out of control. All of that is normal humanity. But let me tell you what's not normal. This close to a person who just died and telling them, listen to me, I understand that what I see is natural, but I work and live with a supernatural God. And I do not accept what I'm seeing or hearing or smelling. I accept the mercy of God on your behalf. In Jesus' name. And my son's going off, and I'm going off, and the crowd is huge now, and we're just going for it. And all these people are freaking out. Because we're just normal civilians out there raising the dead, man. And you listen to me. It was probably a half an hour of us sitting there. See, when it's a situation like this and it's you, you don't care that I'm publicly speaking in tongues. You don't all of a sudden have a theology that you won't shut me down because of my proximity, my location. You're religious. I clearly had to hold my tongue. The Bible says there's certain events you have to hold your tongue on. That was one of them. Because there's stuff wants to come out. That much truth will make damage. we're going for it. Loud. And the people, I'm hearing them because of my Spanish. I'm fluent. And they're going, Ellos son aleluyas. They are the hallelujah. That's what they call us. Because he said it earlier. We'll be saying it through eternity. And I absolutely believe that. And I won't, everywhere I go, people look at me and go, oh, he's one of the hallelujahs. That is who I am. And it's good for you that I'm there, because I am really one of those. And it wasn't an hour, but it was getting close, and all of a sudden, simultaneously, they gasped. I mean, husband and wife both, and watch this, not only did they gasp, but their wounds were healed. This is where you look at hell and go, what? And I see a couple of you that don't believe what I just said. That's okay. I'll make allowance for you. You're what God calls an unbeliever. You are needed, because the Bible talks about unbelievers, that you are damned and condemned. Well, those are God's words. Me, I would have used street language on you. I can get away with using what God said. But isn't that awesome? You're sitting there, your truck, one of my boys' trucks broke down. And it was, it doesn't matter to me how you believe, really. The truth is that it happened. The breakdown, I'm talking about a nice truck. And the place it broke down, I'm standing, and from here to that back door, the wreck just, that car was flying through the air. I mean, it was rolling. And for us to be there, you get it? Jesus loves you. He's got help around you. Let him love you in Jesus' name. Hey? Hey? Whoop, whoop. Now faith is, Hebrews 11:1 amplified. Now faith is the blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Thank you. I'm going to blame him for how I feel. He's the one that brought me to Jesus a while ago. Let's see here. I'm looking for a verse. Oh, yeah. There it is. Psalms number 40. They were singing a song a while ago. I had another thing I was going to talk about till they sang that song a while ago. And then it flew on me like a duck on a June bug. See, you have to have tone stuff down. Verse 1. You there? Psalm 40, verse 1. Now I don't know if I'll get to it or not, because, I should do this. Y'all are awesome hosts. Thank y'all for not putting very many restrictions on me. I don't know of any he put on me, but I better qualify it just in case. My wife and I appreciate y'all taking care of us, and because not a whole lot of folks like the tolerance level it takes to put up with me. Thank y'all. Y'all are a blessing. Thank y'all. Hey, right? Because I got to go in just a minute. I'm not going to be rude, but I am leaving. So there you go. What does the first verse say? I waited patiently. Now, in the Amplified, is that, what version is that? New King James. All right. We'll do mine, though, because I'm up here and he let me have it. So I waited patiently, look at this, and expectantly. See, when you go to God, you know, there's a whole lot of talk about brats and how they only want stuff out of God and all that. That's me. I'm that guy. I want God. I want His power, His mercy, His beauty, His goodness, His abilities, His gifts. Everything that makes Him who He is, I want all of it. And I want to do whatever it takes to make that happen. Whatever that looks like, that's what I want. So evidently, waiting patiently and expectantly is part of that. Because of the next verses is how I know. And the Lord inclined to me and heard my cry. And He drew me up out of a horrible pit. Is anybody in here besides me was in a horrible pit? I'm an eighth generation preacher, but I wasn't always that. I got mad first. And I joined some gang deals. I left the church because of the hypocrites. They really got to me. Because of the sacrifice that I personally had to do for my daddy to do what he does, I finally recognized where it was going. And it made me hostile. So I left. I just walked out. And I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not going to. But it made things a little bumpy for a minute. For my life. I ended up, had two guns on me at all times and a hog leg, a knife. And in the truck was my double barrel with buckshot. And I was going to get you. Leave me alone. And the police would have done their thing. They would have. They'd have had to. It's what they have to do. It's their business. So there you go. But you see, Jesus came and got me out of that horrible pit. I went into the pit voluntarily. I allowed anger other people's opinions and other people's falseness to dictate who I was. And I walked into this muck and mire thing. And many of us sitting in here did the exact same thing. And then the mercy of God came. And it says right here, and He drew me out of the horrible pit, verse 2. And it says, of tumult and of destruction, froth and slime. I love these words. Because my life, I was a kid, right? And I got the oil field. I was making big money for us. We was pulling down between $4,000 and $5,000 a month. And we was kids. And we couldn't manage it. We couldn't keep it. It wouldn't stick to us. And it's because clearly Jesus said in the words of Haggai, I think it is, that you have bags full of money, but they got holes in it. It just runs out on the ground. And some of you are in that right now. You're trying to walk Christianity out, but your way. And I've got to invite you to let the froth and slime off of you. Jesus loves us. And it's unconditional that he is going to have his way. Whatever that looks like. Okay. And look what it says at the bottom of that thing. He set my feet on a rock. Do you understand my life is stable? I can go in any part of the world. It doesn't matter. I get in these war environments. A lot of nations I go to now are at war. And I go into the place. My heart, boom, 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 boom. It's in my throat. Fear has got a hold of me. But I walk it out anyway. And he saves me. The reason I'm saved is because steadying my steps and establishing my goings. That's the last part of verse 2. Always people tell me, like, y'all are humble, y'all are meek, y'all are this. Listen to me. Jesus is the answer. He's the stability. He is the steady. It's him. It's Jesus. It's not us. Ms. Hogan is way more stable than I am. I am what's called volatile. In most of my life, it doesn't show up. But there are occasions it still perks its head up. And it takes about that long. But you see, it's Jesus who is establishing us. It's him who is throttling that volatility. It's Jesus that loves you. He likes us as who we are. If people want us to be like somebody else, that's not who I am. All right. Here's what it says in verse 3. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise. That's what I've got. Everybody's always on me. Dude, what's the matter with you? And I look at them. It's praise. Calm it down just a little. Tone it down just a little. Why? To be like you? A loser? I'm a winner. This is what winners look like. I'm a praiser. I'm a worshiper. I am one who seeks the Holy One of Israel. If you ever wondered what a believer looks like, it is one of the most wonderful things to be full of the Holy Ghost. You are just so in charge of everything. And I'm not willing to give it away. There's been too big of a price paid for me to be free. I must enjoy it. New song, a song of praise. Many shall see it. See the song they're talking about. Watch what it says in the Amplified. Fear, revere, and worship with you. And put their trust and confidence and reliance in the Lord. All right. I wanted to say that. Now let's do one more verse. It's in Romans. I'm telling you, I can feel the Holy Ghost. And it makes me happy. It makes me, what's it? Ready? Watch. I can breathe. I am a free man. Some of y'all can't breathe. These people got you by the throat. You made some bad decisions. And you want to blame everything but what it is. If you would just say, okay, help me, Jesus, and relax and relent to him, freedom would come to you. He would get you out of your bind, and you'd be like me. You'd be able to do this. Watch. Romans 14. We'll see where we go. You know how we have this ranch in Mexico. It was given to me, and so I took it. You know, my grandpa was a former rancher fella. He had 100-something acres of cotton and, you know, 200 or 300 acres of cow on that. And every summer, that's where I went. My daddy, being a preacher, you know, mostly I would have gotten in trouble. So that what they did with me, as soon as school got out, the next day they put me in the car and took me to Grandpa's farm. And then I started getting up at 3:30 in the morning straight. Yeah, that's what they did with me. And I learned how to work. But I also learned how to handle and manage crops and animals and all kinds of stuff. And I need it now, see? Let me tell you how awesome your God is. Is that okay? I inherited, when I got this ranch, I inherited this small herd of cows. And I didn't like them. And I don't want to go into all the details on the different kinds of cows and that, because some of you don't care and most of you don't know about it. So it's fine. Y'all shop at Walmart. You think that's where cows live? Walmart. And so I set on things in the herd. Did you know that when you put your hand to stuff, God blesses it? And I didn't like the herd. So I started changing the herd. So I went and got me these certain kinds of couple of bulls and that, and started changing it. But it takes a process to change it. So I got the herd changed, and now, watch this. We can't eat them fast enough. Did you understand? The blessings of God loves you. And your cows give calves, and they don't die. You are blessed. I've been trying to get this herd whittled down for a long time. I eat as much as I can. And they still grow bigger and more of them. You are blessed. You are the redeemed of the Lord. Say it with me. I am the redeemed of the Lord. Verse 16, 14, 16. Do not therefore let what seems good to you be considered an evil thing by someone else. Don't value people's opinion more than God's. And in y'all's world here, Yuppielandia, what somebody else thinks about you in y'all's mentality is more than anything. But I'm inviting you to a freedom that don't want to hurt people's feelings, but wants to please God. Hello? And it says, don't give occasion, this is amplified, for others to criticize that which is justifiable for you. For me to worship at my age and to be active in the things I do all over the planet, almost every day, not every day, but almost, Somebody will call or send an email or something to us telling me how I should act. Clearly, they haven't met Jesus. Because I didn't get a criteria package when I got saved. I got the Holy Ghost. And that looks different with everybody I meet. Hello? Okay. Look what it says in verse 17. After all, the kingdom of God. Say that with me. Kingdom of God. Kingdom of God. What are we trying to do here? Are we trying to please God? What are we trying to do? Well, did you know that in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 it says, without faith it's impossible to please God? You cannot do actions and please God. You cannot do works and be all right with God. You have to have faith in God. Now, works and actions come with that. Follow. Mark 16. These signs will do what? Proceed? What's the word? They're on our donkey. They following us. We are following Jesus. We are looking at the Holy Ghost. We are pleased and gratified and awesomely joyful and yay, God. Happy and blessed of all peoples, says the Word of God. That's who we are. And because of that, the kingdom of God establishes itself around us. Steadying and establishing. Psalms 40, verse 3, verse 2 at the end. Steadying and establishing us. It works. It works. And it says, he wanted to take us out to some lunch in a minute but before I leave. And I graciously declined because it's not because I don't want to eat. I want to fast. New concept for preachers. It's a great opportunity for my wife and I to just come here and be with y'all and then spend the rest of the afternoon driving and just seeking God and letting the Bible go and praise and worship and speaking in tongues. And you get it or not? Establishing and steadying us. And now. It's just not a matter of food and drink. If I thought that, it would offend him if I wouldn't eat one of Rudy's sausage with him. I'd actually go if I thought it would offend him. But I believe we're after the kingdom of God. An offense is not part of who we are. Jesus is. Hello? Okay. The kingdom of God is not a matter of getting all manner of food, drink, or such things. But what is it? What is the kingdom of God? My wife, you see how she put, I come here with my best suit today. Did you notice? She put me together. You know, I got the best, this is the best suit I own. When I went to Korea, they brought this tailor to my room, and they made me a suit. I'd never wear that. You ought to see how funny it looks on me. I looked in the mirror and just started laughing. And I took it off, and I've never put it back on. It's brand new silk thing. It'll never go back on my body. What's this? Ever? When I went to meet the President of the United States, you know, because they wanted prayer, so they let me come. Weird, eh? Listen, me, I ride a horse to church, son. Come on. But the only thing they said to me is the sergeant of arms of the White House. There is such a thing. He called me up and said, Brother David, this is sergeant of arms of the White House of the United States of America. I said, yeah, and I'm Superman. Click. I'm serious. I mean, who's going to get a call from the White House? I mean, who do you know that's going to get a call from the White House? Me. He called right back. Brother David, this is serious. I said, what? Sergeant of Arms, what do you need with me? He said, this day. And I was walking with the phone to my desk, and I picked up that invitation. It's got gold embossed stuff on it. And I said, yeah, I'm supposed to come there. And he goes, you can't wear your blue jeans. I said, well, then cancel. Can't wear my blue jeans. Now, that's putting pressure on somebody. I mean, who thinks they have the right to tell you you can't wear your blue jeans? Now, that human being has lost their... Y'all know what I meant. But I still held my tongue. Your mind finished the sentence, not me. I said, well, then what am I going to do? Because I own nothing but blue jeans. He said, listen, you go down to the mall and get you some black ones. I said, black blue jeans? He said, yeah. I said, thank you, God. So that's what I did. And he bought her a brand spanking new dress. And I had a new shirt. Man, we was shiny new pennies. I even bought a new pair of boots, didn't I? I mean, I went in that place. I was shining. And I don't know why I told y'all that, but that was fun. I don't remember why. That's enough. Who cares? All right. The kingdom of God. This is who you are. Do you understand or not? We are children of the Most High God. We are sons and daughters of Zion. And that's not in dress or a code of men. That is in who I am by the Spirit of God. And look what this says. Food, drink, or like. But instead it is righteousness. What does it mean to be in right standing with God? You know, we all talk about it. But what if it's real? What if God's okay with you? Amen. No, really. If he really is the creator God that from way before the Big Bang deal, way, quadrillions of years before all of man's smartness tried to fix, which they only took in part of, a small amount. What if he really is that? Something is. And for him, this massive creature that, I don't know what he is. We'll just call him a creature for fun. It says in Isaiah that he holds the world, us, in the palm of his hand. You understand how big he must be? Okay, all right. We can't get it. What do y'all say? Y'all say something. When you can't get something, what do you say? It's a cute little phrase. I can't remember. Righteousness. The state which makes a person acceptable to God. Say this with me. I am acceptable to God. God loves me. He sent his boy and killed him for me. He loves me. He loves me. I am acceptable to him. Righteousness. Say it. It's mine. I am righteous in the eyes of God. I am forgiven. I am blessed. I am filled. I am healed with mercy. 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 I'm going to read you a story. Came into my computer. Brother David, thank you. For over a year ago, we came to a meeting. Jonesboro, Arkansas. The husband was in a wheelchair. He had like 45,000 diseases. They started naming off these diseases, and I'm just looking at them. And I was just impressed at how they could remember all those fancy names. Because they was giving me these Latin names of all these diseases. And I was just looking at them. It was a good thing I had my boots and jeans on. Thank you for praying for my husband. He was so weak. They had told him he couldn't stand on his own, and David prayed for him 3 different times. What's this? We didn't see any change. And see, I believe in miracles, and we have lots of instantaneous things happen. But I would say 80% of what we see happens in 1 to 5 days. And I don't know why. I don't know that. So we call them healings instead of miracles when it takes more than one day. I don't know why. But that. So anyway. So we prayed for him for 3 days. Then, you know, he didn't see nothing. So then, 3 nights later. I love this. This makes my day go round and round. Because I believe that if you will listen to the anointing, God will establish you and steady you. And the kingdom of God will automatically implement itself on your behalf around you. We want to see it now because your mentality is they want you swapping in your car and your phone every few months. And they want you, everything's in a hurry and get the newest and the brightest and the best. And you go down to the store, and if it takes more than 5 minutes, you're mad. You're cussing them out, and they're spitting on your food. But what about let's grow the cow? What about we take the cow and let her give birth to what we're looking for, and then we nurture that thing, and we grow it up, and it becomes this beast that we're really looking for. And then you slay the thing, and then now you got your T-bone on your steak. And you know exactly what went into that meat. There are no steroids. You got it the way you like it. Drug-free. But that means we're going to have patience. Oh yeah, that's right. Verse 1 of 40. I waited patiently. Three nights later. You ready? I saw the wall in my house on my husband's side of the bed light up. Whoop! Here we go. My friend came to visit. His name is Jesus. So, live with that one, unbelievers. I'm what's called a believer. I find this easy. Okay. Watch this. He gets up the next morning and went out and started mowing the lawn. This is a guy that's been in a wheelchair for several years with, I don't know, 200,000 diseases or something. One is too many. You don't learn how to live with hell. You learn how to live with heaven. Woo! And I love this. Can you tell? Yep. Oh, it's coming time to leave, Miss Holy. Gosh, it's bizarre. You ready? Okay. His sister was there. She couldn't believe it. Unbelievable. That's what they do. They don't believe. Why do you find that bizarre? I find it normal. I'm a normal Christian, and they're normal unbelievers. Okay. Since that moment of the lighting, wall lighting up thing in the night, in the lawnmower deal, 100% healed of cancer, diabetes. I tell you, it's a list. Headaches, high blood pressure, COPD. Emphysema. And he's getting stronger every day. See, this is what it means to establish you and steady you when hell has knocked you off balance and they've attacked your little ship and all y'all are afraid of the rocks and the water and the fog and the sharks and the all of that. Your sails are shredded and you, oh my God. And the whale went by and knocked your propeller clean off your ship. This is what it means to believe anyway. The light comes. The establisher, the strengthener, the blesser of my soul. I'm grateful to seek God on behalf of the kingdom. Because as I walk, the longer we walk to get together and are more strengthened in the Lord, the more established the kingdom of God becomes around us. It doesn't get weaker. It doesn't matter the governments, the financial stress, the social atmosphere, the climate of anything matters. What matters is Jesus' King. Okay, let me finish this. It's fun to me. I like this last part also. The cancer doctor came in. Here we go. What? He said, I don't get it. I don't understand it. But the cancer is vanished. And my husband told him, I told you God was going to heal me. Isn't that awesome? See, this is what I'm saying. Your environment really... please don't take this negative, please. But that's not relevant. Jesus is king. And it don't matter where you are, it's established. The kingdom is stable. And we are steady. And I will praise him on purpose. The other day, here, Miss Hogan, take this so I can do something else. Por favor, hermanita. Muchas gracias, hermanita. Está abierto, eh? Okay. What's this? The other day, I'm riding down the road trying to make it to Bucky's. I love me some Bucky's. Man, you can go in there and get as big as this house here eating. They got enough food for the whole stack in here. And I go in there, you know, and I'm always happy about Jesus. Even when I'm mad or not, old wet hen, I'm happy about Jesus. And I walk in Bucky's, right? Just bought my fuel, doing what you do at these stops, you know. I want to see if maybe they have a new energy drink I ain't never heard of before. It's legal. And I won't go to jail over. Woo! They always ask Ms. Hogan, always at the GNC store, this is not for your husband, right? He don't need this stuff. So I walk in there, you know, at me. I don't know anybody that gives me the advantage. So I'm walking down through there, looking at them. Bucky's. And this lady walks over to me. Excuse me, what are you doing? I said, Shanaka Tarababa Sha. And all of a sudden she goes, Horaba Shakatarabah Sha. So me and this lady in the Buc-ee's are just Horaba Sha. We look up and ain't anybody on our aisle. We got the whole thing to ourselves. It's nice to walk into Buc-ee's and people, unbelievers, move out of your way because they know you're a son of God. Man, you crazy. I'm not crazy. I'm a believer. I'm telling you, I was in y'all's Houston airport. Mind if I was trying to be nice. You know, I got like, I don't know how many, a lot of miles. So they put me in this club thing. You know, I'm trying to be nice. I don't want, because everybody in them clubs, you know who they are. So and I got all these miles, and so they upgrade you to this fancy spot. So I'm standing there, fixing to get on the jet. I'm not bothering anybody. I'm just standing there with my thing, just looking at them. And this fella comes walking by with his little deals on wheels behind him. You know, and I observe my surroundings frequently, like all the time. You learn to, don't you? So, all of a sudden, this fella, he's normal life going. Do you understand normal life gets interrupted by demons occasionally? And it don't matter how much you're trying to fit in, they just want to provoke you. And for no apparent reason, this guy just, bam, hits the deck. And he starts foam coming out of his mouth. And I'm over there in my important line looking at him. But he didn't make the second bounce before I was on top of him. shoot. I jumped on this fella, and he's... And I'm... Right in the first class line, buddy. I just told Miss Hogan, because she's just sitting there, you know, her. Just calm, peaceful person. And she's just observing me. She watches my world go round and round as I beat hell to the ground. My life is interesting. And all of a sudden, this other fellow gets there and he starts banging him in the chest. I thought he was praying some weird form of prayer. Turns out he was a doctor. So me and the doctor doing our deal. And then my son comes, because they always watch it, and when I'm always into something. And so they're paying attention, and boom, my men fly all over this guy. Now we're just stacked, a whole bunch of us and only one doctor. So who do you think won that situation? Listen, all of a sudden that guy starts coughing, and this woman comes running back up. It was her husband. There was a scene, and she went right by him. And she comes back, and the doctor's asking her, "What is it? He's never done this before." And I'm going, "Uh-oh." And right in the Houston airport, we got to preach the gospel. Bucky's airport, everything's the same. The jungle, Austin, COP bunch. All the same. Jesus is King. Would y'all please stand up? Thank y'all so much for y'all's time and everything. Y'all are such a blessing. Thank you. And I mean that. It's not a... I don't know what it would be, but it's not. Here's how it goes. I need you to be the person, the Christian, that allows establishment, steadiness. It's not about racing with somebody. It's about running the race. See, I'm doing all these marathons. Y'all might not know it. I'm doing 18 marathons in a row. Next April, I'm running that Fort Bend thing down here, Brazos thing. 32 miles, I think, my part is. My son's running a 50. I'm running a 30, maybe 31.3, I believe it is. It's a low-end ultra, in other words. Okay, and I'm doing all of this. And, I mean, it's training. I met this lady, right? Just a little grandma like my wife. Just a little pudgy grandma. And I met her over there in Boulder, Colorado. And this lady, if you looked at her, you wouldn't pick her out to be a world-class runner. She has run 150-mile races. She's one of the top opinions about running that's out there for women. And all I did was mention it in the thing there in Boulder. Brother Steve Shanks. You know him? Steve Shanks? You probably do. He's been around like us. And good fella. And awesome. I love it. So she's been working for him in that church for like, I don't know, a long time. And my wife, she come up to Ms. Hogan and said, "Is Brother Hogan going to run that ultra?" She goes, "Yeah, he is. He don't know how to train, but he's training. He's just running." And so, y'all watch this. God will give you what you need. She's one of the best voices in the world at the moment. And her husband, any of y'all runners in here, anybody? He has run the Leadville 100 5 times. You listen, These people are bad, extremely bad to the bone. So she tells my wife, does Brother David need any help? You see, God will strengthen you. Whatever you put your hands to do, He will cause it to prosper. It doesn't matter that you know or don't know. I encourage you to believe God. And now she's my trainer. She's my coach. I'll say, I got this problem. She'll send me right back a thing. Oh, do this. Can you follow instructions? How far do you want to go? You hear me, I'm one of them. I want to go further than anybody's ever been. I want Jesus. I sent her, I was so happy that I made the first one. I sent it to her, right? Right off my GPS. I just took a picture, sent it to her. 2 days later, she sends me back hers. She had beat me by 8 minutes. So I told Ms. Hogan, it's on like Donkey Kong. It is so much fun to be a son of God, to do what nobody else can do. Don't you accept it? Do you hear me? Please. You people that's my age and older and younger, you listen to me. We got this. So just lift your hands up. Thank y'all. Y'all have been so awesome. You're always on target and on time. Them songs y'all sing are scary. That song about the new song, I never heard that before. You write that? Would you please send me? I don't know if it's copyrighted or what, but I'm going to give it to everybody. Please, I'll put that on my iPod and let me in that. I'll just cry going down the highway. Let Him touch you, please. Let Him touch your family. Let Him touch your business. Let Him touch who you are. Let Him change you.